All right, this morning, if you have your Bible, we encourage you to open up your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4 is where I'm going to be, Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, we always love for you to use a Bible app, or we provide Bibles under many of the chairs in front of you. There's racks. Feel free to grab one. New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4. And with missions, we want to emphasize that, as I said, because at our church, we have a heart for missions. We love missions. We love to see not what God is doing just in our church. Yeah, praise the Lord, we've had 3 people saved in the last 2 weeks. Praise the Lord, we have 2 teenagers getting baptized. Praise the Lord that we've had 10 families visit our church last week for the first time. And somebody asked me, out of the 10 families, you know, what was the demographic? 5 of those families were young families with school-age kids. You know, 2 of those were college students, and the other 3 were older people. So, to sum it up. But again, it's great because it's so spread out. Our church is so diversified. It's something to be excited about what God is doing here. But, you know, we don't want it all to be about us. We want it to be about what is God doing across the world. What's God doing? And we partner with these missionaries to accomplish what God wants to see accomplished. We want to see people come to faith in Christ. We want to see people grow in their relationship with Him. We want to see people become leaders for God. We're all on the same mission. Us at Crossroads and our missionaries on the same mission. You know, we have this book, we have this movie that came out many years ago called The 3 Musketeers. Do y'all remember that? The 3 Musketeers. And I have a photo that they're going to throw up on the screen here of the 3 Musketeers. And the heroes of that story of the 3 Musketeers, they had as their motto this phrase. And the phrase was, all for one and
one for all.
Right. You guys know that. Right. And they were vowing to stand together. They were vowing to stand together in their common goal, just like our common goal with Crossroads and our missionaries is we want to see souls saved. We want to see people grow. We want to see people become leaders for God. We have a common goal. So for us and for them, it's all for one and one for all, right? We're in this together. And as we're studying and going through this book of Ephesians, I thought about this passage. And this book of the Bible was written by the Apostle Paul, God's chosen vessel to the Gentiles, the one that formed the body of Christ, where there's no more Jew, there's no more Gentile, but we are all now one. We're all now one in Jesus Christ. And I'm reading this book and dwelling on it. And as I'm doing it, I'm reading it and I'm thinking, Paul's trying to get the believers in this church at Ephesus almost to adopt as their motto, this motto, all for one and one for all. And that's a great motto. That's a great motto for any church, even our church. And don't get me wrong, I love our motto, learning the Bible and living the Bible. That's great because we got to learn the Bible. We've got to be like Mary, remember? And we've got to sit at the feet of Jesus and we've got to absorb and learn. But then there's a time for learning. But then there's a time for living the Bible. There's a time to be like Martha and walking and serving the Lord. I love that. But I also love all for one and one for all. And simply stated, I believe that the Lord expects us. He expects us as a church family, along with our missionaries that we support, to work together. We support missionaries in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, in the U.S., all across the world. We have partners here locally that we work with, such as Halifax Urban Ministries, Church Planters, Resources for Women, Second Harvest, Salty Family Services, and I could go on and on and on and on. We partner with these organizations locally. We partner with these missionaries worldwide. Why? Because it's all for one and one for all. We're in it together. We're in it together. And here in chapter 4 of Ephesians, just to refresh our memories, in verse number 1, Paul calls the church to remember where we came from. Aren't you glad you're not where you were? And he calls the church. He says, hey, remember where you were and be thankful that you're not there anymore. And be glad that God has called you out of spiritual darkness and now has called you into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord for that. So he's reminding us of that. And he had been writing to the Ephesian believers about what to believe in the first three chapters of Ephesians. And then starting with chapter 4, he teaches them about how to behave. Because after we learn what to believe, we've got to know how to behave, how to act it out in our life, how to live it out in our life. So the end of verse number 1, Paul basically is telling them these words. He says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called. And you might say, what calling is that, Pastor Rich? I mean, is God going to speak to me audibly and kind of tell me how I'm supposed to live? And the answer to that question is no. Man, don't expect God to speak to you audibly. Don't expect God to call you on your cell phone. God's not going to speak to you that way. The way that God's going to speak to you is through this. This is how you learn how to walk that worthy walk. And that's what God is trying to teach us. That's what Paul is trying to teach us here. The Bible says the calling that we have from God after coming to faith in Jesus Christ is a call to live a radically changed life for the glory of God. We're called to live differently. Why? Because now we know Jesus. We're to live lives that glorify him in here and especially out there. That's what the word worthy means. Last time that I preached, about 3 weeks ago, I had a slide for you guys that had scales. There it is. And we talked about on one side of the scale, we weigh it down so much based on what God has given us. God has blessed us beyond measure. And the scale is like this. But how do we balance the scales? We balance the scales by understanding everything that God has given us. By living out what we've learned. By living out what we've learned. Having told us what God desires from us, the Apostle Paul now moves on to teach us how to bring this about in our lives. He tells us how to walk that worthy walk. And one of the clearest ways that the church can really prove that it's the church is by living out what it learns. Paul mentions in verse number 3 and again in verse 13, this idea of the worthy walk and what it looks like in the form of unity. Look at me at verse number 3 in chapter 4. He says, be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And then go to verse number 13. In verse number 13, Paul says this, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unity is a work in progress. Unity is not something that happens automatically. Unity is something that, according to Paul, we have to work towards. But simply, Paul is saying this. He's saying that we as a church should walk together as one in the Lord. Let me just pause here and say that unity is God's goal for the church. God is not in favor of disunity. God is not in favor of division. Yeah, we can have differences of opinion, and we should, but that should not fracture the church. Unity is God's goal for you and your spouse. Unity is God's goal for you and your children. Unity is God's goal for you and your grandkids. Unity is simply God's goal. God doesn't like it when our families are fractured. You know, we have a member of our church, Jake, who's right there in the middle, and Jake has an incredible testimony. He came to faith in Jesus Christ just a year ago. And at the nice young age of 87. And we rejoice and praise the Lord for that. But Jake was sharing in his testimony that, you know, his BC period, before Christ period, that there was a fracture in his family. There was a time that he wasn't communicating with some of his family members. And, you know, God is a God of reconciliation. God desires unity. And since Jake has trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, that disunity has become unity, and he's reconciled with his family members, and they're communicating once again. Amen? And that's what God's desire is. He wants there to be unity. He wants there to be fellowship among us. And if you look with me on the screen, I'm going to show you four or five verses that speak on this theme of unity. And in these verses, there's a couple of key words that I'm going to focus on. And by the way, whenever you see the word ye there, especially in the King James Version, it's plural. It's kind of like, you like Southern folks say y'all? Can you practice that? Can y'all say y'all? All right, you guys did good, but I think you need more practice. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you these four or five verses. Whenever you see ye on the screen, I want you to say, all right, you got it? Okay, we can practice our Southern talk. But I want you to notice this. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says that,
y'all.
Right, plural. He says that y'all stand fast in one spirit, singular. He goes from plural, y'all, stand fast in one spirit. He says with one mind, singular, striving together, plural, for the faith of the gospel. Next verse, Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. He says, fulfill. This is going to be fun. My joy. So he says, you all are going to fulfill my joy. How are you going to fulfill my joy? How are you going to make me joyful? That
y'all.
That y'all be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, singular, plural, y'all, singular, one accord. One mind. Let nothing be done with strife or through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Next verse, 1 Corinthians, I think is where we're going to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. Now notice this. Paul's writing now to the believers in Corinth, and this is what he says as he speaks about unity. He says, now I beg you, and again, the you there is not the ye. So instead of y'all, it's just you. So he says, I'm begging you, individual, singular. He's talking to you. He says, I'm begging you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that
y'all.
Plural. That you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that y'all be perfectly joined together, plural, in the same mind and in the same judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Paul writes this. You can take a break for a minute with y'all, okay? He says, finally, brethren, farewell. He says, be perfect, be mature, be of good comfort, be of one mind. He says, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And then one more verse from Romans chapter 12. He says, be of the same mind, one toward another. You know, it's interesting, as I dwelt on those five verses, there's one key word that is used in all those verses, and it's not y'all, as much as I love that, but it's the word mind. Paul told the believers in Rome, in Corinth, and Philippi to all have the same mindset. And he says, hey, if you have the same mindsets, that is the key to having unity. It's the key to having unity. It's God's goal. And if the Lord is interested in unity, don't you think that we should be interested in it as well? Back in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 3, he says, be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're called to keep or maintain unity. Again, in the church, in our families. The fact is that we're not always unified, are we? We're not always on the same page, are we? We're not always pulling together. We're not always rooting for each other. Sometimes we have our own agendas and it competes with the good of the church and the good of others. And I'm not saying that because I'm looking to make changes here, there, so don't draw conclusions from that. I'm just speaking generally. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we have our own such strong opinions that it's not what is, as Paul said, what is best for everyone as a whole. As God said in Philippians chapter 2, it says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, these verses we're looking at today teach us how to walk together. How to walk together as a family, as a redeemed family. And that's the way God intended it to be. That all for one and one for all mindset. That's what God wants. Yeah, there could be differences of opinions. There could be, because we're different people. We all don't think alike. But there should be one thing that we all agree on, and that is the desire to fulfill God's goal and God's mission for the church. God's mission for the church. You know, thriving. Our goal is we want to see a missions program in our church that's thriving. Man, I'd love to see us double the number of missionaries than we have now. I want to see us quadruple the amount of money that we give to our missionaries than we're giving them. This past year, we gave our missionaries a raise. It was the first raise that they received in years. Dude, we need to be doing more for our missionaries. They're laboring on the field. They've given up their lives here in the United States to serve God in a foreign field, away from their families, away from their home church, away from their friends. We need to support them wholeheartedly. We want to wholeheartedly get behind them. And that's this one for all and all for one mindset. Not to just see what God is going to do around the world, but again, also what God's going to do here. You know, we would love to be able to do something called Walk Through Bethlehem this year. It's our 20th anniversary. It's been 20 years since we kicked it off. And we would love to see Crossroads present the gospel of Jesus Christ to 10,000 plus people in our community and see people come to faith in Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. But you know what? There's only one way that's going to happen. That's through prayer, and that's through people. That's through people participating. Everybody in this room saying, hey, in some way, shape, or form, I will participate and walk through Bethlehem to see souls come to faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, you know, that's exciting to see that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 3. Look with me one more time. The Bible says, be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's several words in there that merit our attention. The first phrase is be eager. It suggests that we allow nothing to hinder us from keeping unity. Satan wants to cause division in your life, in your family, in your church. But believer, our job is to be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit. Amen? Another word is this. He says, keep. And the word keep means to guard or to maintain. And notice, the Bible doesn't say create unity. We don't need to create unity. Unity has already been created. And I'll explain that in just a minute. Our job is to keep it. Our job is to maintain it. You know, we can't manufacture unity. We can't create unity. God already has. He created what we call the body of Christ, and he placed you in it. And that's the common ground that we all have, is the fact that all of us as believers in Jesus are in this body of Christ. He says in verse number 3 once again, he says, be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit. The phrase reminds us of the common ground, the common denominator that we all have. And that is that all of us that are in the body of Christ, we all possess one thing. It's not something spooky, but it's something known as the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. That's the one thing that we all have in common, is we can be led by God's Holy Spirit, which lends to us being unified together as a body of believers. You know, we just have to let the flesh go and yield to the Spirit in us. And then lastly, he says this in verse 3. He says, be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are to maintain this unity in the bond of peace. You know, kind of reminds me of super glue. You know, super glue makes a pretty good bond, doesn't it? I mean, we use it in our house. We use it for numerous things. Elijah's always looking for super glue. Where's the super glue? You know, it works better than duct tape, huh? Yeah. You know, I used to go surfing like all the time. I grew up on the beach side. We'd go surfing since I was 8 years old, go out there almost every single day. I stopped surfing probably about 2 or 3 years ago. So Elijah now uses my new surfboard that I just got. You might say, why do you stop surfing after surfing for all these years? Is because I'm afraid now of what's in the water. I don't know what's happened to me. All those years, man, I was out there with the sharks and everything else, and all those years I got bit, I got pinched, I got stung by jellyfish, Portuguese man of war, stingrays, you name it. And that didn't bother me all those years out there with the shark fins and all that, but now I'm scared. We went to the beach yesterday for a couple hours. My brother's like, come on, let's go out. I'm like, I'm good. I'm right here. And I'm like, hey, I just consider myself blessed to be out there for 40-something years and never have anything seriously, you know, happen to me. I'm thankful, and that's okay. I'll just swim in my swimming pool now, you know. But Elijah borrowed my board a few weeks ago, and he came home with the surfboard. And when he came home with the surfboard, he gave it back to me. I keep it in my bedroom in the corner there, and he hands it to me, and I lay it where I normally do. And then about 5 minutes later, we hear this big thud, and I'm like, oh, no. And then I go in there, and my surfboard's laying on top of the dresser, and there's huge dent on the side of the surfboard, and it's like a new surfboard. And then because of that huge dent, there was a stress crack that went up, and that was, like, awful, too. And I'm like, oh, no, time to get the super glue. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't get the super glue. We used some other thing. We took it somewhere. They used some epoxy or hardener and resin to kind of fix the board and make it look as good as new. But here's the thing. When it comes to the bond, so they used a bonding agent in order to fix that surfboard, hardener and resin. But for us as Christians, when we talk about the bond that we can use, the Bible says, how do we maintain unity in our family? How do we maintain unity in the church? The super glue, the bonding agent, is peace. Can y'all say that with me? Peace. That's the bonding agent. That's what keeps unity among believers in Christ, is being at peace with one another. And when we are at peace, peace speaks of tranquility. It speaks of harmony. And when we are at peace with one another, even though that little brother or that little sister might annoy the mess out of you, even though that brother in Christ or sister in Christ might get on your nerves, get under your skin, but when we are at peace with one another, we are able to keep the unity of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let me stop right there. In Scripture, God is called the God of peace. And when we're at peace with each other, we're like Christ. Amen. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me here this morning?